Let's go to Pyeongchang one last time for one more check-in with our friend Andrew Wittenberg from KSL in Salt Lake City. Hey, Andrew, how are you this morning?
What's up, Matt? How are you?
I'm good. Hey, thanks again for being so willing to chat with us every week here during the Olympics. You are on, like, are you on week three or week four of being in Pyeongchang?
Yeah, we are getting toward the end of week three, I believe.
Wow.
If I have my days right. We're here, grand total 25 days, so we're getting down to the nitty-gritty here.
No kidding. And Andrew, I don't know if I've asked you this previously, but did your wife come with you on the trip, or did she stay back home?
No, she's back in Salt Lake with our little boy, and some family came out to help out and hang out, so that's been really nice. So a lot of FaceTime, a lot of phone calls, and the technology's definitely made it nice this time around. It was pretty much the same in Rio, but with the little guy. It's been nice to have the FaceTime.
I'm sure.
My son's 14 months old, so yeah, he's getting around pretty good and been able to see Dad a little bit while I've been gone.
This had to be tougher than the previous Olympics you've been at, I would think, with a little boy at home.
Right, yeah, a little bit, for sure. I mean, it definitely is pretty surreal to be this far away, and, you know, my wife will send me pictures and stuff, and we'll FaceTime, and, you know, he's kind of starting to chatter a little bit more and talk a little bit more. So, yeah, some of that will, like, every once in a while kind of pull the old heartstrings. But overall, been pretty good and really nice to be able to FaceTime. The Wi-Fi over here, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, the Wi-Fi is just outstanding everywhere. They have, like, 5G technology in some spaces in Olympic Park. So the internet connectivity here has been unreal.
Well, that's good. That's really good. I'm sure that's helped out quite a bit. Yeah. Hey, with him being 14 years old, so when you're on television, is he at an age yet where he sees that and says, oh, that's Daddy? Or at 14 months, is he not picking up on that yet?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so. Quite picking it up on TV, necessarily. My wife was saying, yeah, I've been trying to, you know, show him and point to the TV and whatever, but definitely on FaceTime. He definitely recognizes, and he'll kind of get a little excited when he sees Dad pop up on the cell phone.
If you follow Andrew at KSL Andrew on Twitter, at KSL Andrew on Twitter, you'll get to see, I think, your new profile pic is you put up a picture, or your pinned tweet is of you and the little guy, right?
Yeah, that's my little boy.
That's
yeah,
cute.
Hunter.
So. Cute. Now, I've been following you on Twitter all week. I know you got to go to the gold. Did you go to the gold medal curling game?
Man, I tell you what, did we just get incredibly lucky? So, yeah, it's late Saturday night here. And so, not late Saturday, it's just now 7:15, but Saturday night here. And just so happened that I had a little bit of free time this afternoon. So we went to the gold medal curling game. And, man, it was amazing. John Schuster, not too far up the road from you guys from Wisconsin, he finally gets a little bit of redemption, gets the gold medal for the curling over Sweden in, like, this. I mean, and I don't follow curling to a great degree, but, I mean, it was absolutely thrilling in the eighth end to get a five-point end, a draw. It was just unreal there. And a lot of Americans in the crowd, they went crazy. And USA, for the first time, gets that gold curling medal.
Now, the gentleman you just said who gets revenge, is that the mustachioed gentleman that we've been seeing so much of?
No. So that's okay. Hamilton. John Schuster is the skip, and he's been there. I think this is his fourth Olympics.
Oh, okay.
Since Torino, maybe. And he got the bronze in Torino, but been a little bit of a disappointment as far as curling goes since then. And, man, have they come through. They knocked off the Canadians, who were favored in the semifinals to get into the gold medal game, and then they come through and win the gold just within the past hour. It was cool to see. And it's so weird because in the curling rink or the arena where curling is going on, it's so quiet. I mean, it's like unlike anything you've ever seen. It's like a golf tournament being held indoors where everything's so quiet. And, you know, there were probably, you know, 5,000 people. It's a pretty small arena.
Yeah.
Maybe 5,000 people in there. But, like, you could audibly hear the entire conversation going on between the guys curling. It was really cool. It was very different of an experience.
Now, about a day ago, you posted a photo of you with a stone and with the brush. Did you get to actually do a little bit of curling?
No, we were just kind of messing around. We were able to get that sort of on loan from the women's team, the USA women's curling team. They were done with their competition here, and so we were able to sort of finagle a broom and a stone from them for some of our live shots we've been doing for the morning shows. Had a little bit of fun with people in Olympic Park, you know, messing around, doing the curling, practicing their sweeping and that sort of thing. So didn't actually get up there on the ice, but no, it was cool. It was really fun and definitely something that it's huge. I mean, it's like you say, you like the Winter Olympics better than the summer because it's stuff you see every 4 years and maybe not, never hear of any other time.
Yeah.
This was totally that. I mean, curling literally took these games over because it was on TV every night on one of the networks. It was on. It was being played every night because the tournament's so long between men and women and the mixed teams. Yeah, it was just wild. And, I mean, people by the end of this were just going crazy over the curling. So that was pretty cool to see.
I see that you also got a picture with Lindsey Vonn this week.
I did, yeah. She was making the rounds after her competition was wrapped up. She won the bronze in the downhill, had a DNF in the Alpine combined. She straddled a slalom like a gate, and so didn't finish in the Alpine combined. But sort of disappointing. But no, I mean, I think she cemented a pretty firm legacy. She's certainly been great for a long time with all the World Cup wins,
yeah,
and now another medal at the Olympics. I think, you know, a lot is being made of her sort of political commentary on social media and whatnot, but certainly as far as just on the ski hill goes, she's got to be one of the greatest American skiers of all time.
Absolutely, and you know, it's funny, I didn't follow the combined. I did see live, I believe, the other night when she did the downhill run. She was in first place going into the slalom portion of that, or whatever the second portion is called. So I didn't realize.
Yeah, and the combined, yeah, she did exceptionally well. She had a better downhill run in the Alpine combined than she did in the actual downhill event.
Yeah.
And then slalom isn't her specialty, and, you know, just kind of straddled one of those gates, didn't quite make it through, and then, you know, off course. And so that's what, but I mean, she talked about it at great length. And so when I took the picture, she was making the rounds through our like NBC compound doing interviews and was on the Today Show and everything. And she was great. I mean, she said, look, I'm 33, you know, the oldest American woman to ever medal in a skiing event. And perhaps if I'm right, I want to say she might be the oldest woman ever to win a skiing medal. And, you know, this is a success for her. I think she looks forward. She may or may not finish the World Cup season. And then who knows beyond. I mean, she's got a world of possibilities ahead of her. And regardless of what, you know, anyone thinks about her politics or whatever she's said on social media, you certainly can't discount what she actually does when she gets the skis on.
Yeah. Well, as long as you brought up politics, so the news here has been that Ivanka and Sarah Huckabee Sanders are now in Korea for the closing of the games. And, you know, the administration announced new and tougher than ever sanctions on North Korea just in the last 24 hours. What's the political climate there right now?
Ironically enough, it was sort of a celebrity situation because Ivanka and Sarah Huckabee Sanders were both in the curling match where we were. And, I mean, they were enjoying a little bit of celebrity status. There were a lot of people, and we saw her. I'll tweet out a picture here when I get back to our workspace. But we saw her. We were able to see her. There wasn't, like, a massive security presence around her. Certainly there was some Secret Service, but not a massive presence. She wasn't in, like, a luxury box or suite or anything. She was just right there in the stands, and people were coming up left and right to take pictures with her, Americans and Koreans. So that was my, you know, initial take. Now, we'll see what happens with the political ramifications here with all this news coming out that there was a meeting that was called off, you know, perhaps between Pence and the North Koreans, and then, you know, Ivanka Trump here is sort of part of the delegation and closing and these new sanctions. I'm curious to see how that plays out over the next 24 hours leading up to the closing ceremonies. Yeah, as far as from my actual perspective of what I just saw in front of me an hour ago, she was certainly getting a little bit of the celebrity treatment. People just wanted to take selfies with her. We saw like a mom come up and give her a small child to hold and take a picture with this small child. So interesting, you know, that amidst all this geopolitical tension and turmoil that, you know, she still is a name and a brand and something that people just sort of gravitate to.
Yeah, no kidding. So as the games are about to close, so are the closing ceremonies tonight there, like in a few hours, or is it tomorrow night there?
Tomorrow, so it'll be Sunday night.
Okay.
Here, which is, you know, about 24 hours from now, and then they'll air on Sunday night on tape delay in the States. So probably, I don't know, 12 hours or so after they happen here.
Sure. Okay. So as things are starting to wrap up, what do you think the long-term, you know, memory of the games overall is going to be? Is South Korea going to say, boy, that was a success, that was an economic driver that put us on the map? Or are we going to, is it going to be one of these clickbait slideshows in 15 years about abandoned Olympic venues?
Right. I think that's a great point. I think it's going to live on a little bit better than Rio has, certainly. And Athens and Beijing,
Sochi,
some of those pictures that you see, Sochi, very similar. I think this will have a little bit better longevity as far as its legacy. I think for Americans, they'll look back at these games with the U.S. women's hockey team, perhaps even curling, being historic and getting the gold medals. And although it wasn't a terribly successful games for us in the medal count as far as being one of the top two or three countries, I think we're in fourth position still. Quite a games. As far as like facilities and things go, it seems as though there's a better plan in place for the long term with the facility. Short track speed skating is an obsession here, and a number of the arenas, the venues, will actually be converted into short track speed skating camps. So you would hope to see something like what we have in Salt Lake, where a lot of our venues are still in use. And I think that will happen. I think the South Koreans have a little bit better plan moving forward than we've seen some of those others.
By the way, that reminds me, you brought that up, the women's hockey team. I was up watching it live, and you were there, and you have a great video on Twitter from your perspective in the stands of when the American goalie makes the save on the final shot and the team all jumping off the bench. And it's really cool because it's not the angle you see on television. You're just set back, and you kind of see everything and really see the crowd. So if you follow at KSL Andrew on Twitter, you can see what he shot from the stands. What was it like to be there? You said that's the first time you've ever witnessed a gold medal for the Americans actually happen live, right?
Yeah, I would say, I think what I maybe tweeted out there was something along the lines of it was the greatest live sports finish that I've ever seen in person. It was unreal. I mean, the emotion in the room was just fantastic. It was a lot of Americans in there. I couldn't put a finger on it. Maybe 60% American U.S. fans. And it was, I mean, there were a lot of Canadian fans as well, and that's certainly a bitter rivalry. So I may be a little bit off on the numbers there, but man, they were so loud. In the end, in the third period, when they came back to tie it, and the overtime where they had all the chances, it was great. It was as thrilling of a finish as I've ever seen. And certainly being there in person and watching it live, and the sort of bonus of it being at an Olympics, and all of the back and forth that had happened between Canada over the years and the two straight losses in the gold medal game, the drama of it all was created for one of the greatest finishes I've ever seen. And, you know, that's to say, I mean, I've seen a couple of Super Bowls. I was there at the Patriots and that Super Bowl a few years ago against the Seahawks with that goal line stand or the interception at the end. And I went to school down south where football is a religion and saw a lot of big games. But yeah, I mean, this had a feeling. This really did in the building. And I don't know if it translates to television, because I think that's one thing at the Olympics. Sometimes the intensity doesn't translate over to TV.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was one of the best just vibes I've ever been around in sports, ever.
Well, I got to tell you, watching that live, I still skate men's league hockey. And so I get home from my game late enough that there's 3 minutes left in the game and the U.S. had tied it. When I left the rink, they were down. I get home and they're tied, and I watched that overtime, and it was awesome. And the U.S. dominated that overtime period to the point where I thought for sure Canada's just going to come down and score a fluke goal to end this thing, because the U.S. was all over them. And then the shootout and Lamoureux's move was so ridiculous when she scored that goal.
The oops, I did it again, yeah.
Oh, man, that was something else. It was so much fun to watch. And really what that team has been through, I mean, a lot of people maybe have forgotten or didn't pay attention, but they threatened not to play in the World Cup this year that was being hosted in America, or whatever the world title is, because they get such unequal treatment versus the men. It was embarrassing what USA Hockey was doing to those women. And they stood up together and said, hey, we're not going to do this. And USA Hockey had to cave and give them much better terms on how things were run. I think I post on social media, this might be our best Olympic team ever, if you consider everything that they had to go through to get to where they were.
Yeah, no, I completely agree from that perspective from hockey. And you're right. I mean, that's been an issue for years, and not just in hockey.
Sure.
Much has been made, a lot of headlines in women's soccer as well. And it's nice to see that perseverance, and it's nice to see in the rivalry, because what was great about that game was, even amidst all of that and the years of building and building and heartbreak and devastation, you come back and these were the two best teams. You know, it wasn't like a fluke underdog that came to and won a gold medal. These were the two best teams in a knockdown, drag-out fight. They came through, and an amazing move by an amazing athlete, Lemereau, came through and got that goal. And that was just, again, that I mean, it's a cherry on top, and I hate to say it, but it's just so weird. Like, we started the segment saying, yeah, I've got a couple hours off. I think I'll go check out curling. Same thing. I just happened to have a few hours. Well, you know, the women are playing. Let's go see if we can get in. And our media pack, I mean, that's why we're way up in the stands. They put us up in the nosebleed. Sure. We're just kind of standing there. But, yeah, it's just unreal. It's been an amazing experience for me personally, and then also for the United States.
All right, so you're heading home in a couple of days. What in 2 years, where are the summer games at?
Tokyo, Japan.
Oh, interesting. And as far as you know, if things move along like they have, you'll be headed back?
Perhaps. I don't know. They usually, it depends a lot on, I mean, it's sort of inside baseball here, but it depends a lot on space within the NBC group.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on how many people go from individual affiliates.
I imagine it depends on if there's a good local story that needs to be told as well, right? With the Winter Olympics
and
skiing and stuff, you got a lot.
Obviously. Right. There's a lot more that goes into it for us in Utah in the winter. However, in the summer, there's so many more viewers of Summer Olympics. It's the ratings are usually a bit better.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot more events, a lot more athletes, a lot more countries participating. So from that perspective, too, the Summer Olympics are usually just a touch bigger on both scale and in proximity to the United States, like the viewership. So, yeah, we'll see. I don't know. But I like it. I enjoy the work, and I enjoy covering these teams and the people. And, you know, one thing that we've talked a lot about, the athletes and the games, one thing that I really like doing on our morning show there is just being able to talk to normal people, Americans who travel thousands of miles to come see these games.
Yeah.
The stories of the little guy, the athletes that don't medal, that, you know, sort of achieve their Olympic dreams, and they're here. And while they probably don't get a lot of headlines, they're every bit an Olympian. And that is certainly something that 99.999% of us would never do in a million years. I think that's what's lost on people, because the coverage on television is so great. Social media is so great. The branding, the marketing is so great. Sometimes we lose perspective on the little guys, the little countries, the little teams, the athletes who make it here that don't make headlines. It's amazing just to be here and be a part of it.
Yeah, it really is cool to watch, and it's definitely on my bucket list to get to an Olympic Games. I think it would just be so great to, for a couple of weeks, watch these athletes perform and watch some of these things that bring countries together and bring people together to cheer for their teams. It's been fun. It's been great checking in with you. I really appreciate it, Andrew. I hope we stay in touch more than just 2 years from now.
Absolutely, man. Call me anytime, bud.
All right. Sounds good. Have a great rest of your trip and a safe trip home. And I know you got some big hugs waiting for you when you get back.
For sure, man. Same to you, and appreciate everybody back there in Chicago. I was going to tell you, I actually was going to tweet you. There was a guy running around in a Jonathan Toews jersey the other day, and I almost tweeted a picture of him.
Excellent. Good.
Bring that back.
Well, with the way the Hawks have been playing, we wish they were at the Olympics this year, but hopefully they're going to get it together here before we miss the playoffs for the first time in 10 years. But Jonathan Toews,
Beijing. Maybe the NHL guys will be back, maybe, and maybe the Hawks will be back to what they're accustomed to by then.
That would be good. All right, Andrew. Safe trip home. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
See you, buddy.
All right, thanks. Andrew Wittenberg from KSL in Salt Lake City, at KSL Andrew on Twitter.